Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, are WWE planning a Forbidden Door entrant in the Men's Royal Rumble?
New tag team champions were crowned on last night's Monday Night Raw.
A surprising wrestler turned heel on last night's WWE Raw.
And a stable split on last night's Monday Night Raw. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
And this is the news.
Well, let's kick things off by talking about this Forbidden Door malarkey that has been going on in WWE for the past few days, of course. Mickey James coming through, hitting the Women's Royal Rumble as Impact Wrestling Knockouts Champion. That was announced on SmackDown. But are WWE planning something similar for the Men's Royal Rumble? Well, we had a tweet report thing from WrestleVotes last night. I'll just read the whole thing out to you. Why the hell not? Had more than one source this weekend, without me directly asking, state that they believe WWE will try for an unexpected Forbidden Door entry for the Men's Royal Rumble. Personally, I'm skeptical that it happens, but I can confirm WWE is at least open to the idea, which is exciting enough. So Forbidden Door, I mean, the phrase was coined for the AEW-New Japan relationship, and it has since just come to mean any kind of crossover, really, hasn't it, between wrestling promotions. So when you see something like this, you immediately think someone from another company rather than just a surprise entrant like you have in the Rumble all the time. X-Pac wouldn't be coming through the Forbidden Door, although I'd like to see X-Pac in the Royal Rumble. Why the hell not? He hasn't wrestled for WWE since 2002.
What?
Wild. Wild, but we're getting a little bit off track. I think when this came out, a lot of people went nuts and went,
oh my days,
what if it's an AEW wrestler? I think there's a greater chance of me waking up with a full head of hair tomorrow than it being an AEW wrestler. However, you know, with Mickey coming over, maybe there's scope for an Impact or someone similar. I will believe this when it happens. But I would have believed the Mickey James thing. I would have said the same thing about the Mickey James thing.
Exactly, so. You started the campaign trail yesterday for Moose to be in the Men's Royal Rumble.
Makes sense.
I love that as an idea. For me, if I had to just take a guess at who I think it might be, I genuinely think it could be someone like Zack Ryder, or as he's better known.
Call him Zack Cardona.
Yeah, exactly. Or Matt Cardona on the indie scene, of course. That just seems to work a little bit for them.
Yeah. There's a few, like, I think if they do an Impact person, I think it's going to be either the world champion, Moose, because he can come out with a belt and you can go, hey, this guy's a big deal. He's got
like
a belt.
Four champions in the women's match already.
Yeah,
Charlotte,
exactly.
Mickey, women's tag champs, and the 24/7 champ.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on. But like, Moose comes out with a belt, that looks good. Obviously, like, he looks great as well, and he's going to attract attention immediately. But also, if they're not going to go down that route, and they do have someone in, which, again, I'm skeptical of this, it'll be someone that WWE fans know. It might be like Rhino or someone.
Yes.
Like, you know, Kenny Omega's not going to be in the Royal Rumble, guys. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I saw some people suggesting. I mean, Bryan Danielson, potentially. Like, he's such a lovely bloke. I feel like he could bring everyone together.
I think he'd be up for that. But I just can't see why Tony Khan would agree to that.
Yeah.
Like, or why Vince would put an AEW guy in his Royal Rumble after the massive own goal that was Chris Jericho on Broken Skull Sessions. Doesn't add up to me, guys, but we'll see what happens.
And by the way, if it is, and obviously this is caveat, we want to wish him well in his recovery first and all that, but now I can get to the fun part. If it's John Moxley, you will literally never hear the end of it from me.
Agent Ambrose back.
I will, honestly, I think I might just retire, so maybe some people actually want that to happen. Anyway, let us know your speculation, your picks in the comments section below. Let's not forget the pasty bet that is going on between myself and Andy Murray. I have either Scotty Too Hottie or Pat McAfee in the Men's Royal Rumble.
Who do I have again?
You have literally anyone else.
All right, cool.
Basically, if that doesn't happen, and I'm getting less and less confident as the closer we get to the Rumble, stop adding people, WWE. Yeah, you'll probably get some pasties.
I'm getting a sausage.
First of probably many this year, considering my track record with these bets. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about last night's Monday Night Raw. Loads to tell you about. First of all, there are new Raw Tag Team Champions. Alpha Academy defeated RK-Bro on last night's show. Similar a little bit to the match that we saw last week where Riddle got isolated and he got beat down. But it was, in fact, Randy Orton who took the pin. Huge slam from the, I think this now is his official nickname, The Tree Trunk himself, Otis. Mixed emotions about this. I've really enjoyed RK-Bro together. We all know that this is probably, I don't think it's going to be right now, but probably leading to a split between these two in a brilliant blow-off match, probably at WrestleMania if I had to guess. But I really enjoyed them as a tag team, and they clearly worked. They got over. I think this has been fantastic for elevating Riddle, especially amongst the fan base. But as much as I'm sad that that's over, great news, Chad Gable's got a belt around his waist again. It's not that bloody 24-7 crap. This is his second Raw Tag Team Championship, I believe. He used to hold it with Bobby Roode briefly. And Otis's first taste of gold on the main roster. What did you make of all this, Andy?
Yeah, this was interesting. I actually, like, when I was writing this up, I had to remind myself that Chad is a former Raw Tag Team Champion.
Yeah, I didn't know. I forgot that.
I read it on Cage Match and I was like, are you sure about that? Did that actually happen? But of course it did. Yeah, I mean, like, the Riddle Orton Tag Team was put together to eventually get to a feud, right? That's logical. But the way they've pulled it off has been good. It's been several levels above the usual odd couple tag team fare, as we'll get into with the next story. their TV matches are always a lot of fun. I think they have a good character dynamic. They're clearly over with the crowd, although, why did I say although? I'm quite high on this. I just think it's good. I'm sure they'll have a tremendous match if they do indeed have it at WrestleMania. And I've enjoyed it from start to finish, and I'm not going to complain about Chad getting a belt either.
No,
it's great. It's good stuff.
More belts on Chad Gable, please.
Give Chad the belt and then beat everybody. Anyway, we had a tag team split up in the women's tag ranks.
Thank Christ this is over.
Yeah, speaking of tag teams who were only ever put together to be torn apart later down the road, Rhea Ripley and Nikki Ash, Nikki A.S.H., Super Nikki, they're no more. It's split up. We had an angle on this week's episode of Raw segment.
Oh, cracky there. Crap angle.
It wasn't good. It wasn't great.
You.
In the ring, Sarah Schreiber was like mediating, and they were like, hey, Nikki was like, hey, we could be women's tag team champions again. And Rhea was like,
you lost it like 2 minutes last week.
Yeah. Maybe not. We're dropping out hard. I think it's best we go our separate ways. They were like, hey, one of us has got the impression that they're better than the other. And Nikki was like, I'm better than you, brother. Rhea offered a handshake, they came in, big hug, blah, blah, blah. You'd think that this was heading to a Rhea Ripley heel turn. Mm-hmm. Seemed maybe a little bit more in line with where their characters have been. But no, Nikki pulled the beat down. She dressed as a superhero. She beat Rhea Ripley up, left her on the mat. What was her line?
Almost superheroes don't need friends.
They go, I don't need friends because I'm Nikki. A thing happened. It's a different direction for both. I wouldn't have expected Rhea to come out of this one as the baby face.
No.
Okay.
I hope Rhea Ripley, and this is nothing against Nikki Cross, the performer, I hope Rhea beats Nikki so bad she beats the character out of Nikki and she returns back to the Nikki Cross that we all liked in NXT and the version that was, sort of a watered-down version on the main roster, because this version is crap and it works even less if she's a villain.
Yeah, we were quite kind to it at the beginning, weren't we? We said, basically, like, this superhero character, it's for kids and
it's
stuff.
It's not for us, yeah.
Right? But it didn't really get over to any degree, even when she had the Raw Women's title. It just didn't work out, so something new for her is definitely good.
Exactly. Speaking of splits, though, we got another one on last night's Raw. Now, yours is a little bit more proper than mine, because your two were tagging together on
Raw. Yeah, they'd actually been seen on TV recently.
Whereas this stable had been together, then had a big acrimonious split, and then just sort of done a little bit together again, And then, I don't know. But regardless, the Hurt Business are definitively no more. The show started last night with Bobby Lashley watching all the footage of what had happened with him becoming number one contender to Brock Lesnar's WWE Championship. And then who should sidle up next to Bobby and MVP? But the rest of the Hurt Business, Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. And they were like, hey, Hurt Business, eh? And I, for one, thought, oh, is this a thing again? And Bobby said, it's not a thing. And I thought, oh, okay, good. And then Brock mugged off Bobby with a knock-knock joke, or should I say Brock-Brock joke, and and then they thought, Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin thought, this is a good idea, this is a perfect time to attack Bobby Lashley. What happened, Andy Murray, was Bobby Lashley wrecked him, chucked him around ringside, slammed him into the ring post, but definitively, we will never, ever, ever see the Hurt Business together again.
What on earth?
What's going on?
What on earth? The lifespan of this stable has been so strange, hasn't it? They came together and it was good. Like, we all liked it.
It was amazing.
We all enjoyed it. Their presentation was spot on, I thought, of the Hurt Business during the first run. They split up. Nobody really wants to see them split up.
Nope.
It felt like they still had a long way to go. There was a report that came out, I believe, saying that they didn't want to split up either. They were like, Vince, why are you splitting us up, weird guy?
To be fair, they split them and they did all that great stuff with Shelton and Cedric.
Oh, yeah, they did. They had a wonderful runs on main event after that. So, you know, they split up, whatever. They come back together in September and everyone's like, hey, oh, okay, well, you shouldn't have split them, but I'll take this. And then they just don't appear on TV together pretty much ever again. Not even in the background. And now it's, I don't know, they don't apply logic to these things because it'll drive you round the bend. My brain is already made of soup from watching WWE since 1992. Don't apply logic and stuff. Just accept the bollocks for what it is, even when it sucks.
So you're telling me Shelton's going to cost Bobby at Royal Rumble?
And enter into a main event program. Shelton Benjamin's finally going to get a push.
Finally! Yeah, bad idea for them to attack Bobby after that segment, but yeah.
Silly sausages.
No more Hurt Business until Vince decides that he wants them back together again because he changes his mind like that if he's even in control of it anymore. Right, let's move on to your Twitter questions at WhatCultureWWE. Of course, you want to get in touch with this first question today. Comes from Retina on Twitter.
It's who like
says, hey, Adam and Andy, with the Royal Rumble coming up and most of the women's entrants already being revealed, do you think now is a good time for Asuka to make her return, win the Rumble and go after Flair to redeem her previous loss at WrestleMania like Rock Austin WrestleMania 19?
Yeah, I think that's good. That's good, obviously.
It's a hell of a shout, that.
Yeah,
I love it.
We really enjoy Asuka. And her returning in the Royal Rumble would be impactful and it'd be cool and everyone would have a good time with it. And I think the story you've just outlined is very smart, logical and good, which is why I don't think they'll do it. I unfortunately don't think that the WWE brass see Asuka on the level of like the Four Horsewomen and certainly not Charlotte Flair. But look, if I had the pencil, I would certainly consider doing it because your idea is good.
Yeah. She'd be in my top three favourites to win the Rumble. I think Bianca Belair's up there.
Yeah.
Because of what happened last night with the triple threat. Doudrop now the number one contender. By the way, sorry, yeah. The number one contender for the Raw Women's Championship.
From Glasgow.
Bailey. Bailey's a contender. Me and Hamlet have maybe tried to speak that into existence.
Yep.
And long shot, but I would love to win it, Ronda Rousey. No idea what's going on with her, but if they need a big thing to happen at the Rumble because there's no real clear contenders outside of Belair.
None bigger.
There you have it. Mike Gamel? I'm going to go with Gamel.
Gamel. I like Gamel. That's...
Sorry if I butchered your surname. Kick in like Sally on Twitter.
Okay.
Good morning, guys. What do you think the odds are of Sami Zayn being number one in the Rumble to further the conspiracy against him? And if so, who should be number two?
Oh, my goodness. Who are we putting in at number two alongside? I think putting him at number one is definitely fitting of the character. I also think a good role for him in this Royal Rumble would be the Warlord to get eliminated in 2 seconds.
Yes.
Whatever. Like, that would work for his character as well. Who should go in against him? Someone terrifying. Who's the biggest, scariest person you're going to have in that Rumble match? Put them opposite him so he can, like, crap his pants.
Yes.
Running around like a little coward. Who's the largest man in there so far?
Is Omos in it?
I don't think he's been confirmed.
Not declared yet.
He's been confirmed, and he's a large unit, but he's not a scary guy. He's too nice to be scary. But yeah, put Omos in there as number two.
Yeah.
And have Sammy. Sammy could eliminate himself. Just Drew Carey over the top rope. Over the top rope.
I don't think he's going to be number one, because I think they're obviously planning something with Johnny Knoxville around the Rumble and him after what happened on SmackDown. Yeah. But yes, if you could get an Omos, a Commander Aziz, a Walter, that would be perfect number two for me. Ryan Ahard gives us our final question of the day. It says from good. He says, good morning from Canada, eh? He actually says the A part. That's not me being harsh. Could you see Damian Priest potentially holding a winning streak at WrestleMania? What's the best undefeated streak at Mania? Is it still RVD at like 4-0?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, he must be the high. No one really builds up that kind of currency these days anymore.
I'd like it if they did it with someone new.
Yeah, I mean, it would be cool. The thing with Damian Priest, and that we do point this out every now and then, deceptively old Damian Priest, and I don't think he's going to be wrestling for like another 20 years or something. Obviously, no WrestleMania streak is ever going to come close to The Undertaker in terms of length. But does Damian Priest have enough time on the clock to do like 10 WrestleManias in a row? I don't know. Maybe he does.
It'd nice to see someone get like a 9-0, 10-0 sort of record, though, even if it's only the case.
Yeah, it'd be cool. It'd be cool for sure. I don't know if it's something WWE are really interested in doing. They never really mention streaks and stuff these days, do they? I remember even like a few years ago, Charlotte Flair's pay-per-view streak ended and it just didn't get acknowledged. It makes sense. Again,
a lot of
the questions you guys send in with like fantasy booking and stuff make good sense, and they'd be good ideas, and I think they'd improve the product and make people look really cool and everything else. But just looking cynically at the patterns and stuff, maybe it's not something that's going to come to light.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when you consider his age, when you combine the age of Priest and Damien, that's like two people there.
And Damien's a snake.
Right, let's move on to today's and finally. Well, today's and finally is sitting right next to me. Andy Murray's feuding with Baron Corbin, everybody.
Oh, no, did Baron Corbin reply?
Baron Corbin replied. So, yesterday, we were talking about Corbin, weren't we? Or we were talking and you said,
what do you reckon these guys' steak order is, Phil? Because I reckon Baron Corbin strikes me as a guy who not only buys, like, a rump steak, he gets it well done, and he eats it with ketchup. Oh, no.
Yeah, he saw this.
I muted this thread because I was like, this is trouble. I should have deleted this straight away.
Yeah, so he didn't tag Baron Corbin in that tweet, but Baron Corbin found it. And he tweeted, well done with ketchup is still better than any of that hot garbage you call food over in England. Well,
I'm Scottish.
Yeah, there you go. And he even included a gif of Gordon Ramsay holding two pieces of bread between a budding chef's ears and asking, what are you? And she replies, an idiot sandwich. And he also shared a photo of how he likes his steak. And you know what? Fair play.
Fair enough.
I'd like to have some steak with you, Baron Corbin.
Has anyone got an L? Because I'll happily fold it. I didn't realise he'd replied. Fair enough. You know whose fault this is? It's that damn Louis Dangour.
Yeah.
Tagging him in the...
Dangour!
Curse you, Louis. I'm not going to do a single thing because I quite like you and you're very nice. But, you know.
So, I guess you've done it now. I need to feud with someone. Yeah. Let us know in the comments section who I should feud with in 2022. Because chances are, I'll go for it and probably just get absolutely rinsed on social media. But let us know in the comments. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and the Dadley Boys sitting down to review a Monday Night Raw and NXT 2.0's preview later on today as well. Plus, you can let us know your thoughts, Twitter questions and celebrity beefs on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. Follow Andy Murray. You can follow him at
Andy H. Murray, the H stands for, hey, imagine getting rinsed by Baron Corbin. What a loser.
Follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilbur. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, my thanks to Andy. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.